use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, pause it, point it,
zoom it, press it. Hello, all of you out in Radio Land. This is That Computer Show. I'm Chris.
I'm Eric.
And that's Eric. We're going to do things a little bit different today. It seems the boss is not here. So, we're going to talk about stuff that we normally do when the boss isn't around. Video games. All about video games and a couple other news bits. This is episode number 137. We got so many things to talk about, I'm not going to list them. We're just going to jump right into it. That Computer Show starts now. What's up, Eric?
What's going on, Chris?
I hear you got some really cool news from E3, the big electronics gaming convention that's going on right now.
Some big, big announcements at E3 this year. Some big ones, starting with the PlayStation platform, the PlayStation Move, as well as the PlayStation Network.
What is the PlayStation Move? Is that like, you know, is it like a dance move, or is it like a, you know, like the Heimlich maneuver? What is the PlayStation Move?
Basically, the PlayStation Move is a controller that uses a kind of a light motion capture system that incorporates with the PlayStation Eye, the webcam, and allows you to do motion capture allows you to manipulate and control characters and things on screen through the eye.
That's pretty cool, motion capture, like they do in the movies. You have full-on, you know, motion capture. So are they making games that are going to take advantage of this?
Oh, yeah. They are actually going... There's a lot of games, such as the Sorcery, which is a kind of a Harry Potter kind of magic-type game.
So the controller is like your wand, and you're like,
exactly. You're able to control your spells and things like that through that. Things like that, all the way to some family games where, you know, cleaning and you know, party-type games.
Cleaning.
If you saw...
Vacuum Heroes.
If you saw the bit where there literally is a giant crocodile's mouth opened up and the mother has this thing and she's, like, cleaning its teeth, then you would
Like the Wii game with all the WarioWare, which is so whacked out. Those guys must have been on LSD when they made that game, which makes it fun.
Yes, kind of like that. All the way up to them taking titles that are already out, such as Heavy Rain or the big one that I saw, which was Ghost Recon.
Ghost Recon.
You will be able to do Ghost Recon and aim and move your gun and things like that with this motion capture system. There's a lot of potential for that to be really, really cool.
Now, I saw a demo on... We've been streaming E3 live here in the store, and I watched a demo with the Tiger Woods Golf, and the gentleman used the Wii... It's going to take some time. The Move controller... it was a real-time golf club simulator, basically. As he moved the controller, the golf club moved in real-time on the screen, and it felt very natural. It didn't feel toy-like like some of the controllers do in the Wii. When you swing a sword or bash something in the Wii, it feels very toy-like. In the PlayStation, they say that it's going to feel much more theatrical or realistic. So, very cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with the PlayStation Move. The other big thing that they announced was incorporating with Steam. Everybody knows Portal 2 has been in the works, and you guys have talked about it a bunch, and they released a whole bunch of stuff at E3 about Portal 2.
Yeah, we'll talk about Portal a little bit later in the show.
But the big thing is that Steam is going to be coming and releasing a lot of their titles into the PlayStation Network now. So people who guys that have PS3s, you're going to be able to purchase games like Portal 2 through your PlayStation Network and download them via the Steam Network as well.
Like we do on the PC right now.
Exactly.
And the Mac, actually. The Mac platform gained Steam, earlier in the year? And apparently when Portal 2 releases, it will be released both for PC and Mac on the Steam Network, and apparently also on the PlayStation. I guess, does this leave out the Xbox 360? Are they getting a Steam client? Do they have a Steam client?
I didn't...
Xbox.
I didn't see anything.
Guess they're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and go down to, you know, to their local, that computer store or their GameStop or whatever, and actually purchase a copy.
Did you see the new Xbox?
I saw a modded version of the new Xbox, all with, like, lights, and we put some rims on the thing, and...
I saw what you did there.
It was close, because I almost had a stack, and I was going to...
I'm actually not too excited about it. There's some key features of it that I don't particularly like. I don't like the fact that they are taking the memory card slot off of the Xbox. So anybody who had a memory card, such as myself, who, you know, we take our profiles around with us and take all our save games around with us, I can't use it anymore on the new Xboxes. So I was kind of disappointed in that.
Is some of that stuff now stored on your Xbox Live account, though?
I've heard they're talking about maybe doing some cloud stuff, but as far as like I play Lost Odyssey. I'm about halfway through it. I've really enjoyed it, and I keep my profile on my memory stick so that I can bring it up here to the store and play it up here when I've got some free time and stuff like that. But with the new Xbox, I can't bring my profile back and forth anymore and play it.
I think their solution is probably going to be to move that stuff into your Xbox Live, basically with the cloud storage, so that you don't have to have that item. You just log in with your account. That's probably going to be the thing. I also, the Xbox, they have a controller similar to the Move. It's their motion capture interactivity toy. It was called Project Natal. They finally have named the product. And I'm not a fan of the name. It's called the Kinect. They're playing off that whole Kin thing with, you know, kinetic energy and connecting. It's really not that punny. But it's Project Natal, gets renamed. I didn't really get to see any of the demonstrations for this device, but I'm having a hard time really justifying this little booger. It's going to be $150 just for the controller, apparently, and it doesn't come with a game. So, you know, it sounds to me like Microsoft and Sony are playing catch-up to this whole motion thing with the Wii. You know, the Wii came with two motion controllers and a couple of games that took advantage of it. The PlayStation has the Move, which is real expensive. I think it does come with a game. I'm not certain.
And then there is going to be packages. They announced a couple of bundles that are going to come with the one game, the actual controller, the Move controller, and the Eye for those people who don't have the Eye. And the bundle is going to be around $100. It's going to be just at or around $100 for.
That's not so bad. And so it does come with all the controller accessories and a game.
It's going to come with one Wiimote. With one PlayStation Move controller, one motion capture, the Eye, and then one game. Now, if you're wanting to do things like the Tom Clancy, Tom Clancy, that's later. The Ghost Recon, the first person shooters, anything like that are going to be. Extra attachments, just like with the Wii, there's going to be other attachments that you have to purchase with that in order to take full advantage of those features.
Now, I watched some of the videos for the promotion of this particular product, and there are some really cool attachments. There's a gun attachment. There's the other component to the controller that's sort of like the Wii Nunchuck equivalent. It is sold separately. In fact, a lot of these controller components are sold separately. But I did read somewhere that the other component, you can use a regular PlayStation DualShock controller as the other component, because it basically just has an analog stick and a directional pad on it.
That would be cool.
So you don't have to buy that, but it's probably not quite as comfortable.
Yeah.
So, I don't know too much about the Kinect. And what games are going to be available for it? We didn't get to see a whole lot of video on that, but we'll try and post some video on their blog or some Kinects to Kinexy. Maybe their branding's not so bad if I'm actually using that. Maybe we'll have some links to the Kinect on the blog site, so you guys can check those videos out. So excellent stuff. You had some other games you wanted to talk about.
Yes, there was the entire when we streamed E3 here in the store through G4. The entire first hour of the stream was all about a game that a bunch of us up here at the store, including the boss man Steven, has really been looking forward to. And I know he's talked about it a couple of times. The Old Republic.
Oh man, I am so stoked about this game.
They've released some of the classes, or all the classes have now been officially announced. They did some gameplay trailers, as well as some demonstration trailers of some group efforts, taking down some bigger droids and things like that.
Man, where was I? That sounds like awesome video. I wish I would have been there for this.
Yeah, I think you'd already gone home when it happened. But
I watched all the Nintendo stuff and some of the Sony stuff, but this stuff, I missed all this.
Yeah, they've still going to stick with the conventional class role system, kind of like what it is in pretty much all MMOs to date that I can think of. There's going to be, of course, your tanks and your healers and your damage dealers. The one thing that they said is really cool is you will be able to take the basic starter classes, which there are eight of, four on each side, the Sith or the Jedi, and you will be able to kind of tweak your character to be exactly what you wanted to be, so that you can be like the clone troopers, or not clone troopers, the troopers can spec themselves out with heavy armor and closer range weapons and things like that, and can actually play as a ranged tank versus somebody like a Jedi Inquisitor, or not Inquisitor, it's a consular.
The consular, yeah.
Yeah, is going to be able to not only do the whole dual lightsaber thing.
So they are a combat class?
Yes.
Okay, I misheard that there was a non-combat class for that particular faction, and I'm glad that it's not a non-combat class, because that just sounded dumb.
Yeah, all the classes are going to be, they can be combat-based. That particular Jedi was really cool, because they're either going to be the dual lightsaber, the dual-bladed lightsaber, or a healer. I saw the particular group video I saw had that class being as a healer, and then had a trooper set up to be as a ranged tank. So he was actually the one taking the brunt of the damage from this very, very large droid, while the rest of the team dealt with him. So it was
very cool.
Announced a lot about the timeline of this.
Yeah, when is this game coming out? Because we've been hearing about this game for quite a while, and I tell you, man, I play WoW. I play a lot, but I may cancel my WoW subscription to play this, because you know this may take up all of my time.
Yeah, I might have to double you on that. They have said the tentative release date is going to be spring 2011.
Okay, so
we're about a year off, a little less than a year off, and we will be we'll be able to get our hands on the Old Republic. So it should be very, very fun. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Yeah, there was a lot of video and things like that they released with it.
We'll link to that video on the blog site, so you guys can look at that. There's going to be a lot of video that we'll just link to make it easy for you guys to find. So is what platform is this game coming? Is it just PC only?
It's looking like it's going to be PC only.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't see this coming out on the consoles. It's probably going to be a PC only thing.
That's fine by me, actually. So what do you know about this game, Rage? Have you read anything about this? Apparently, it just won IGN's best game of E3. And I don't know anything about it.
Rage is actually a game developed by id, the same guys that did Quake and Doom.
So it's got to be awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of feel a lot like a Fallout 3 kind of setup, in kind of a post-apocalyptic world. From what little gameplay, I haven't really seen any gameplay. I've only seen cinematics with it. But it's kind of going to be a little bit impressive. But yeah, I didn't really get a chance to see any gameplay footage yet for it.
We'll look at some of the video during the break. And that does mean that a break is actually coming up. There's a hint. The music. All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some your HTC Droid Incredible snooping on you, storing your webpage thumbnails in the phone, and why Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook, will never be able to go to Pakistan. That and all kinds of more fun stuff to talk about when we come back from the break.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall tires and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean a kitchen sink?
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Of kids eat Armor hot dogs.
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on hot dogs. Soft kids, fizzy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot
dogs. Armor hot dogs. The dog kids love to bite.
Picking it up on the old banjo, put on the mustard and away we go. When kids fight dogs, they yell,
hooray for hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dog kids love to fight.
Have you heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. Every day is different. Sometimes Valpak.com has savings on long-distance service. Other times you might find discounts on long-distance travel. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. Depending on when you visit Valpak.com, you might find savings on pet care, car care, or even hair care. You could come across a coupon for martial arts. Or save on CDs from the top of the charts. At Valpak.com, you're in control. Just click the coupons that interest you and print them out any day, anytime. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online
like
for you.
To buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
World to sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I like to buy the world a Coke and keep it company.
That's the real thing.
I like to teach the world
what
to sing
world
in perfect harmony. Harmony.
And I'd like to buy the world a Coke
and keep it company.
It's the real thing.
Goodyear unveils new circular tires. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. The Goodyear Rubber Company unveiled a revolutionary round tire today to replace all earlier oval-shaped models. Goodyear representative Doug Kemp.
Market research shows that consumers prefer fuel economy and driver control over the comical boingy-boingy motion of a car on oval tires.
A warning label will be placed on all the new tires, cautioning consumers to store them flat against the floor as they can roll away when standing upright. Doyle Redlin for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it.
Hello, we're back. Round wheels and all. So, some technology news. A little bit of technology news. We're mostly going to talk about E3, but I want to hold true to the spirit of this show and talk about some technology stuff. The HTC Droid Incredible, it's been out for a little while. It's a pretty cool phone. Apparently, it's been snooping on people. What is that?
The video I linked you.
Sorry, my computer was making noises all of its own. Sounded like it was chewing styrofoam. So the HTC Droid Incredible. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
It when you bookmark pages, it apparently starts to randomly take screenshots of your web browsing experience and stick them in the phone that if you dig, they're just JPEGs. You can pull this stuff back up. It's kind of creepy stuff. They stay on your phone even if you do a factory reset. So apparently HTC is promised a fix for this, but that's just creepy stuff that your phone could be snooping on you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and apparently the iPhone 3GS is also doing something kind of creepy. When you put the phone to sleep, some users have found that a huge data burst happens very shortly after your phone goes to sleep, where it's syncing up with AT&T servers. It's like basically sending a lot of data. Now, to most people, this isn't that important, except for the fact that a lot of these carriers are discontinuing the unlimited data plans, so this may eat into your costs. So apparently the iPhone 4 doesn't do this, so just another reason for you to go ahead and buy one of those new iPhone 4s, and then 6 months later, buy the iPhone 4S, and then 6 months later, buy the iPhone 4S G217 Steve Jobs version, whatever. I say no. But that's my personal opinion. So, I had some other fun stuff to talk about, and some not fun stuff. Creepy stuff, like Joe Lieberman.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not his biggest fan, and I'm not a fan of him. He's introduced a legislation last week that would grant wide and sweeping powers to a new division of the government called National Center for Cybersecurity and Communications. It's going to be part of the Department of Homeland Security, and this particular organization would have the responsibility and the power to shut down, if necessary, and control huge chunks of the internet if we were to, you know, say, be under attack or whatever. This is kind of scary.
I kind of have mixed feelings about that.
I mean, I understand feelings. That we need to protect, you know, our national security. So put, you know, this kind of stuff in place for, I don't know, the networks that our power grid's on, the networks that our government's on, and maybe even our financial systems, but the rest of the world relies on certain chunks of the internet that pass through the United States, and they could basically break the internet temporarily or just turn it off, and that could have sweeping ramifications there. So the international community is up in arms about this. It's kind of scary stuff. I don't really think that Joe understands the width of this and how it could be used for bad and not for good. So
I'd be interested to see exactly what they're planning to try to protect here. Are they planning to like Facebook and stuff like that, or are they just planning to do stuff like .gov stuff? The .gov stuff I could understand, that being something that could probably be a good idea to regulate a little bit, but I mean, if they're going to try to regulate things like YouTube and Facebook and things like that, I mean, that's a little much.
I would. Yeah, you're right on track there with the fear that, for example, a certain president gets elected and a certain Facebook page or account, is blasting the president's current policy. If this particular division of the government wouldn't have the power to, I don't know, pull the plug on that website or page, so it could have sweeping repercussions there. We'll keep our eyes on it, and we'll talk to you guys about it Also, we're also going to give you guys an update on the whole FCC net neutrality thing. That's starting to heat up as well. And we'll talk about it probably next week when we get more information about what's going on with that. Got a more really strange and interesting news. I don't know if you heard about this, Eric. Just the other day, it was like last night, was when it actually happened. Yeah. The United States had the first death by firing squad, execution by firing squad in 33 years.
Oh, I did. Who was talking about that? Justin was talking about that with us.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The Utah Attorney General last night used Twitter to announce the impending execution, and he then later tweeted that he was successfully executed. Really interesting, and he did this from his iPhone, of all things. You know, it's just interesting that you think, you know, you can send a tweet from your iPhone going, oh, I'm at the grocery store, oh, I'm tweeting about this interesting bridge I just went across, but when you tweet that somebody's being executed, so yeah. that's just morbid.
I saw something on Dig that I have to mention.
Well, yeah, I'm getting an IM from one of the listeners out there. Yes, this guy did request a firing squad. And this will be the last firing squad that we do in the country. Utah is phasing it out. Utah was the only state that still had this as an option. Basically, you know, when you get the death penalty in the state of Utah, you get a choice. You know, death by lethal injection or electric chair, firing squad, boring economics teacher. And nobody ever picks that one. That's the worst way to go. But he picked firing squad, and I guess because it's the most sensationalist way to go. So
I figured it'd be kind of fast.
Actually, it's quite interesting. They put a target. They sit you in this chair surrounded by bags of sand, so that, you know, stray bullet thing. And they put a hood over your face, and they put you a white dot over your heart, which is the target. And five men stand behind a wall, a little gap in it, and use a high powered Luger rifle, and this Ruger rifle. Four of them have bullets. One of them has a blank. No one knows who has a blank, so that it's sort of like that. You don't know if you actually fire the shot that killed the guy. Kind of a situation to kind of, I guess, put your mind at ease. I don't know. You're shooting a guy in the chest. It's really gruesome. But yeah, the technology part of this. The reason we're talking about it on our show is that the Utah Attorney General, used Twitter to announce all this stuff. I'm not going to give this guy's name out and give him any more press. He's done, so that's enough about that. Some other legal stuff, though. Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, is in a little trouble. Well, I guess. According to a Google translation of a BBC website, Pakistan's deputy attorney general has launched a criminal investigation against Zuckerberg and others in response to Facebook using hosting a Draw Muhammad contest on the site last month. And on May 19th, Pakistan blocked access to Facebook over the contest, and the ban was lifted on May 31st after Facebook removed the page in Pakistan and other, other Islamic countries. But that wasn't enough. The international news is reporting that a Pakistani high court judge summoned the police after a particular lawyer filed an application for a first information report claiming that owners of Facebook had committed a heinous and serious crime under sections blah, blah, blah of the Pakistani Penal Code. This guy's facing, according to this article here, Zuckerberg could be facing death, imprisonment for life, and or a fine. So, yeah. That's crazy, just for drawing Muhammad. Also in trouble could be Dustin Makovitz, Chris Hughes, and, quote, Andy, which is the German woman who initiated the Draw Muhammad contest under a pseudonym. Kind of creepy stuff, man. I mean, I knew that they took that seriously, but, I mean, it's just the CEO of a company. It's not... He didn't actually draw it. Anyway, not going to go into that. But yeah, the CEO of Facebook can't go to Pakistan. Not like anyone would really want to go to Pakistan. I'm just saying. So, you know, when you go to your bank's website or like Netflix and you log in, your web address changes to HTTPS. You've seen that happen, right?
Yeah.
Basically, that means you're secure. Like your stuff you're typing into your web page is secure to the website. It's all encrypted, so nobody can pick up on that stuff. Well, some websites use that stuff. Some don't. If you are one of the Tin Hatters, you know, put aluminum foil on your head because you think the government can snoop into your brainwaves. It appears that there's a new Firefox add-on that does this HTTPS, the secure HTTP, everywhere. So no matter what site you go to, it's all encrypted. No matter if that site has the stuff or not, it's all encrypted. So that's available for you guys out there with the Tin Hats. I know Steven was saying that a particular site that he wanted to go to didn't support that. I'm going to recommend this Firefox add-on for him. So, you said you had some interesting things about a Lego sniper rifle. What?
Yes, I was trying to find some content for the show this morning. I was on Dig, and I ran across this when I was searching for some E3 stuff. I found a Lego sniper rifle.
And this is something you buy, or is
this
like...
No, this is something some guy made. It is a rifle made entirely of nothing more than Legos and rubber bands.
Does it do something? Does it like fling stuff?
It shoots Legos. It has a magazine that you load the box into.
It shoots the 1x4 bricks.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is pretty good.
He has a Lego scope for it and Lego bipods. And we'll post the link to this up there, because this is just, when I saw this, and Chris is watching it now, he's loading the clip and putting the scope on it. It is just, it is insane how much time he put into this, and he actually demonstrates shooting it, and it works. It is hilarious.
We'll put a link to this video on the site. That is really interesting. It loads action. Just like a gun. And, oh, I love his video overlay with the... with the crosshair, that's great.
Yeah, Chris is watching right now, and he just deployed the bipods. it is worth mentioning just because he put so much time and effort, and it is so cool, especially with the talk of all the Tom Clancy games. We're gonna be talking about Ghost Recon in the next segment. So it was enough to make me worth
yeah. So if you can't afford a PlayStation Move in the Tom Clancy games or whatever, then why not just get a box of Legos and rubber bands and build your own sniper rifle? Great stuff. So, wow.
I just got a message from one of our gamers, Indy. He gave me a link to the new Xbox. Apparently it can't Red Ring.
Oh yeah, I read this, that they took the Red Ring problem solved.
It just red dots.
The Red Ring problem was solved by not making the power button ring have red as an optional color.
When the hardware fails, instead of a red ring, you get a red dot in the center. So
they fixed the red ring.
Yeah, they fixed the red ring issue.
Yep, they did. That's Microsoft for you. They will always find a way to fix those bugs and turn them into features.
Good on them.
Yeah, that's a talent that company has. So let's hope that the redesign of the Xbox 360 solves a lot of those issues. I think a lot of them were sort of heat related.
Yeah, it only has one fan now instead of two, though, so it worries me a little bit.
I did read that the new Xbox is only about 17% smaller than the current Xbox 360, but they did pay a lot of attention to slimming down the unit. It's got a new drive in it, and it does have better heat related thermal conditioning, I guess. To where it gets the heat out of the unit, because the older units would cook themselves, and I guess the silly way to fix it was to take certain parts out of it and put them in the oven. That was great. Yeah, don't go putting your consoles in the oven, really. Just buy a new one. That's probably it for this segment, I think. I got a checkbox here. Let's see. I talked about that. Yeah. Okay. So we're allowed to go on and do the commercials, pay some bills, let you guys listen to some Daft Punk for a few seconds. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about E3, some really cool games. One of my favorites. Can't wait for this. Portal 2. Really cool stuff. And some other things when we come back from the break, which starts now.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean, disturbingly healthy. This man dared to use two dabs. Now he's in trouble. We refuse to be responsible.
Brill Cream,
Brill Cream,
Brill Cream.
Brill Cream,
a little dab will do ya.
Brill Cream,
you look so better there.
Brill Cream,
the gals will all pursue ya.
They'll love to get their fingers in your hair.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice, a-roni, the flavor can't be beat.
One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice, Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
Rice-A-Roni, the delicious break from potatoes, now in six fabulous flavors.
One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
I'm Mr. T, and this is my Night Elf Mohawk.
Cut, T, there's no such thing as a Night Elf Mohawk.
Shut up, fool! Like I was saying, my mohawk storms through mighty forests on his frost saber. My mohawk...
T, it's a warrior, not a mohawk.
Well, maybe Mr. T hacked the game and created a mohawk class. Maybe Mr. T is pretty handy with computers. Had that occurred to you, Mr. Condescending Director? I'm Mr. T and I'm a Night Elf Mohawk. What's your game?
World of Warcraft. Try it for free at Warcraft.com.
Rated T for T.
Have you heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online for you.
K-E-Valpak. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tap. The Oka pudding just so real.
Mix from Purina, the cat food with three separate flavors in one package. Three flavors that cats love best: tuna, liver, and chicken. Meow Mix tastes so good, cats ask for it by name.
Meow. We're gonna do it. Like this.
Five dollar foot long.
That's not, no, it's five. $5 foot. Right, no, and it's $5 foot long. It's three.
It's a 5-second commercial.
Is he directing this now?
I was doing it right, wasn't I?
Everyone's loving the Subway famous $5 footlongs, and there's so many to try, like the Oh My Meatball Marinara or the Temp Delicious Spicy Italian. $5 footlongs, all day, every day.
$5 footlong!
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach and aching head fast. It's only as directed. Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief.
An assistant.
assistant manager has been corrupted by power. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. Restaurant officials say Andrew Stinson, promoted just 6 weeks ago to assistant manager at a Kansas City Denny's, is drunk with power. Prep cook Julian Porter.
Now he's got that gold sticker on his name tag. He'll stop at nothing to ensure prompt service and delicious meals at Denny's.
Stinson could not be reached for comment and has reportedly retreated to a secret compound in the rear of Denny's, protected by a legion of armed busboys. Doyle Redlin for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, start it, point it, zoom it, press it.
Welcome back. That computer show in full effect. Broadcasting live from the Blue Room at That Computer Store. So, E3 is still going on. I think that today may be the last day. I'm not certain.
Yesterday was the last day.
Oh, yesterday was the last day.
Yesterday was the last day.
We're a little bit behind there.
Yeah.
But we're going to tell you about what we thought was cool from E3 today. So what do you want to start with?
I'm gonna start off with the new Call of Duty game, Black Ops. Black Ops is not Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. It is an entirely new branch. This one takes place in the Cold War. Is when this one takes place. So it's not the the World War II genres that the Call of Duty series is known so well for. And it is in the past in comparison to the new ones that were Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2. I think I'm kind of torn about this one. Modern Warfare, the first one, was an amazing game. There's hands down one of the best Call of Duties I've ever played. Modern Warfare 2, the campaign on it was great, and for the Xbox players, the multiplayer on it was phenomenal.
Yeah, PC was just completely... There were so many hacked accounts, and it was a big mistake for IGW,
Infinity Ward.
Infinity Ward, whatever. These guys thought they could do it without servers, dedicated servers, and they saw within the first 2 days why that was a fail. Instead of fixing it, they just they said with the next version of. Of the game, they said, "Oh yeah, servers are great. Servers are what we're going to do from here on out." Yeah,
yeah. They thought their anti-cheat client was going to be the end all be all of the need for dedicated server support. And if I remember correctly, when we powered the game up here, within the first three games, I had somebody aimbotting, and that was the day the game was released.
Wow,
there was an aimbotter within the first three games that I played. So hopefully, and they haven't officially announced or said anything about it yet, but this is not done by Infinity Ward. They do not have access to Black Ops. This is more of a stealthy type mission type stuff where you're going to be like the stealth missions were in Modern Warfare 2 and Modern Warfare, where you were playing as part of that English Special Ops group. This is going to be a whole lot more of that. And it's going to be in the timeline of the Cold War.
Very cool stuff.
So
I did see the trailer for this particular game, and it looks amazing. I'm hoping that the game looks as good as the cinematic or the trailer. And for most of the Call of Duty series, they tend to fall right in line with that. That the gameplay is very immersive. The graphics are really, really good. So let's look forward to that and hope that it doesn't suck like Modern Warfare 2 did. It did that. The gameplay was good. The fact that you could get into a game with, some 13-year-old kid who's, headshotting you every single time with missiles. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So this is going to be a big chance for the Call of Duty field to kind of redeem themselves a little bit in the eyes of the PC gamers. There was a lot of big uproar when they discontinued dedicated server support when they announced that right before release. If I remember correctly, and this is just a funny thing that I remember, the day Infinity Ward held the press conference to announce that there was not going to be dedicated server support, the Battlefield 2 guys, Battlefield Bad Companies 2, they held a press conference too, just to reiterate that they said, "Hey guys, we just want to remind everybody that we have dedicated server support,"
yeah.
And that's why in the store right now, the the number one played first-person shooter in the store is Bad Companies 2 right now, because you don't have to deal with the hackers that you had that you dealt with in Call of Duty.
It's very rare. I mean, I have seen one or two, but they aren't on long, and it's a rare thing as opposed to the norm, which it is on Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, you've got admins on the servers to take care of that.
Yeah,
you got guys that actually run those servers, so they deal with that stuff very quickly.
I want to talk about Portal.
Yeah, there's a lot.
If you remember back in the day, when the Orange Box came out, Valve included this mini game. They still refer to it as a mini game called Portal, where you, instead of like shooting bad guys with a gun, you had this device that would open a portal. You would go through the portal, and you kind of use used gravity and used propulsion and these portals to solve puzzles in the game's world. Well, it was very, very popular. In fact, it was so popular that people were buying the Orange Box just to get Portal and not even playing Team Fortress 2 or Half-Life, which I say, play the Half-Life games. They're awesome. And if you play Half-Life and you play Portal, you'll get that there's a lot of interactivity between the two universes, or the two games are in the same universe. Well, in the original Portal... You know, I'm going to give it away. You do kill the bad guy. You do like blow up Gladys, the big mean robot at the end. Well, in Portal 2, she comes back to life and she's upset. No hard feelings, monster. But she says that you and Hurricane get over your differences in the name of science, and she just tries to kill you anyway. Some really cool things. I don't know if Clone, you want to chime in here.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of the video you told me to watch this morning. Really cool stuff. Apparently, there's some new mechanics that they're putting into the games and toys that are going to make the puzzles harder, and the graphics look great. I mean, in Half-Life, you're in the external world where you had vegetation, and you had the physics engine, but you had a world that you interacted with. In Portal, you were always inside this very controlled lab environment until the very end, but even that felt very, controlled and small. From these videos, it looks like the lab is being rebuilt around you, and so the world is completely different. There's vegetation, the whole place is overgrown.
Yeah, apparently it's been a vast number of years since the last game, so Aperture is pretty worn down and falling apart, literally, around you. And when Gladys wakes up, she starts rebuilding it and basically trying to kill you.
Yeah, very interesting. There's a new character, if you will, in the game. It's that personality sphere.
Yeah, he's got sort of a British Cockney accent, and he's a little gun-shy about everything he does.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It reminds me of a character that would be that would fit in the Monty Python world. But he's kind of interesting. Very... very emotional, the way the animations are for the eyeball thing. It's really cool.
At one point, he has to open a door for you, and you can't look at him while he's doing it. He won't open the door while you're watching.
It won't work if you watch. So it's kind of funny. And so there's some new toys in the game. Before, you just had the portal, and you had to figure out how to get places by using gravity.
Yeah.
Mostly there weren't. I think there might have been, some beams that you could activate, and you used the weighted cubes. But they add some really cool things. The tractor beam?
Yep, it's pretty much you jump in it, and you move in the direction of the tractor beam. So you and whatever else is in the tractor beam move along with it.
Now, I saw some interesting footage in the video that you can actually fire a portal, and the tractor beam will go through the portal.
Yep.
So you could use this to move stuff around just by firing portals and moving stuff through the tractor beam. That was pretty cool.
They also have some, I think they're called aerial faith plates. They push you and you fly up in the air.
Yeah, they're like, these are metal plates in the floor that fling you through the air when you step on them. Sort of a leap of faith because you can't be sure where the plate will send you. That's very interesting stuff. Tell me about the thermal discouragement beam.
It's a heat ray that you can use it to blow robots up.
Very awesome.
It serves. It has a couple functions. It powers, I guess, floors and buttons so you can create walkways and other things like that. And you can also use it to destroy the turret robots that used to shoot at you.
Oh no, it's me!
It burns.
Those are great. I love the fact that it's called the thermal discouragement beam.
Yeah, apparently it can hurt you too, but you don't want to walk in that.
No, you don't want to probably not touch that.
Probably why it's
They've also got some new some gel.
Yeah, the gels. Tell me about the gels. There's two types of gels. Tell me about those.
Well, there's the repulsion gel, which basically makes you jump higher.
Oh, cool.
So you put this gel on the floor and you bounce, literally. And they also have the propulsion gel, which when you run along it, it makes you move really fast. So you can avoid spiky walls of death.
Very cool. Very cool stuff. They also have something I thought was pretty cool, the pneumatic diversity vent. Basically, it's a big vacuum that'll suck up anything in its way. It'll suck tiles off the walls, and it'll suck up enemies, and probably you too, I'm not certain.
Yeah, that was one weird part of the video. When you walk by the vents, they don't really seem to pull you in.
That's weird. Maybe they'll fix that by release. Maybe they'll pull you in too. Maybe that's part of the solving some of the game's puzzles. But it's going to be on the PC, the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and the Mac.
Yep.
So, and we talked about it earlier that you'll be able to get the PlayStation 3 version.
Because Steam.
It's going to be going through Steam on PlayStation Network, which is really cool. They're going to be able to get that game that way. Now, very, very cool stuff.
Some more announcements from E3 about Portal. They have announced that there is going to be a multiplayer.
What?
Co-op.
Yes.
Neat.
Now, here is the thing. The co-op campaign is entirely different than the single-player campaign. There are two fully different campaigns for this. When they originally did Portal a while back, and this was the other kind of cool thing they said, is the game was finished, and they spent a year playtesting that one campaign for Portal 1. They hinted at E3 that they said basically there are two full campaigns that they're having to spend just as much time testing, and the game is supposed to be out next year. So they hinted at us that the game is actually already done. And from the look of what I've seen in any of the play in the videos, it looks done. Now, in the multiplayer stuff, you don't play as the android. You actually play as two Aperture Science robots.
One's a personality sphere and one's a turret.
Yep.
Oh, really?
And you have arms and legs, and you each have your own portal gun. And the way the portals work is the player one will have the yellow and the blue portals, and player two will have two different color portals. And basically, instead of thinking with two portals, you have to think with four portals now.
Wow.
That
sounds exciting. I can't wait.
Multiplayer portal. Alamo says time trials at the lock-ins with multiplayer portal. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. We'll do some tournament stuff. We'll do a big release thing when it comes out, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
So, speaking of E3, again, did you see the Nintendo 3G, was it the 3DS?
Yes, the 3DS. It is the newest Nintendo DS. It has a few new features that are going to be very nice. First, they're integrating a joystick into it.
Very nice.
And they're going to be re-releasing a bunch of classic
Zelda.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us, Kyle. You were going on and on. You had a pretty big excited look on your face this morning.
Nintendo 64 games for the 3DS. Star Fox 64, Ocarina of Time, Mario Kart.
Do a barrel roll!
I'm so excited. Just
great.
Want to say.
Animal Crossing, Resident Evil, Pilot Wings Resort. I mean, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Pilot Wings, where you flew around and you tried to go through the hoops? Pilot Wings?
You look confused. That. I don't remember that.
Oh. It was so much fun.
No, so somebody pawned my Nintendo 64, so.
It looks like there's also going to be some Super Street Fighter 4 is going to be coming to the 3DS as well.
So why do they call it the 3DS?
I think this is, what, the third generation?
No, it's in 3D.
Oh, yeah, it has a 3D screen.
Oh.
Yeah, it has a 3D screen. That's the big thing. The
no
screen,
glasses required.
No, you can actually adjust the depth so that you know, for how far you're holding the screen away from your face. The screen actually does 3D right there on the screen. No glasses required or anything. Really cool stuff. But didn't Nintendo try this whole 3D thing before?
Yeah, the Virtual Boy.
Virtual Boy. And it was full of fail, I believe.
Better than the iPad, though.
It was better than the iPad.
Yeah, it was better than the iPad. Because it was red and black. So that's it, guys. We're done. I mean, I'm hoping that the boss, you know, doesn't hear this show, because all we did was talk about video games, and he'd be upset. So, wait. No, actually, he'd have been fine. Actually, he'd probably been pretty cool with it.
Yeah.
He'd had fun.
Yeah.
It's too bad he's out there working or doing whatever he's doing. Because he could have had fun with us. That's pretty much the show. You know, thanks for listening. You guys got to check us out next week. We'll probably have some pretty cool stuff to talk about.
Links to all the cool stuff from E3 we found will be on the blog post.
Yeah, check that out. Check us out at thatcomputershow.net. Check our Facebook page out, thatcomputerstore/Facebook. Get updates.
Hopefully, guys, we'll see you at the next week. We'll be doing the third official TCS lock-in, so if you guys are here local, hopefully I'll see you guys at the lock-in. We'll be having a lot of fun killing some stuff all night long.
All right, That Computer Show, this is Chris.
And this is Eric.
And you've been listening to it, That Computer Show. Scroll it, click it, crack it, update it, name it, read it, print it, scan it, send it, rename it.